Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today feature, the community service program that gets out of the studio and meets community organizations, people, and presents events. Today we have a wonderful program, and I have my host, Brenda Majeur. Welcome.
Hello, glad to be here.
Brenda's my wife of 43 years, and I'm her husband, Tom Majeur. And today we have a wonderful privilege. We've traveled down from Cadillac, Michigan, to actually go to the rehearsal of a program and an organization that our listeners will want to take note of.
Absolutely.
Check out on the website and most likely attend in person. As you hear a little noise in the background, we're during a rehearsal of the Kalamazoo Ringers, and the director is sitting with us, Martha Matthews. Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Features.
Thank you. So glad you're here tonight.
I think that there's going to be some beautiful music today,
Absolutely.
Brenda.
I do too.
Brenda, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful we can be here to hear this beautiful music. We thank you for the gift of music that you have given to Martha and to her players. And we pray you'll bless this organization and the people that are being blessed by it. And we pray you'll be with our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now, Sue, because Sue's usually my co-host, my sister Sue, but I have my wife Brenda here. We were introduced about 2 years ago, a year ago last Christmas. She had listened to this concert, been in attendance to the Kalamazoo Ringers. And what are the Kalamazoo, why don't I ask Martha that?
Yeah, let's ask Martha.
What are the Kalamazoo Ringers?
Tell us about them.
Kalamazoo Ringers is a community handbell ensemble. Of the highest level. In handbells, we talk about tin, copper, and bronze level. So we are a bronze level auditioned community ensemble, and we rehearse every Tuesday night for 2.5 hours at least, and get together and do concerts for the community.
And it's a beautiful experience. You put on concerts usually at Christmas, then you have a spring concert, but you also have another event where you bring in other groups. Tell us about this event, which is actually coming up very soon.
Yes, in not too many days. It's called Bronze Fest, and it's an invitational. So something like in the sports world, they will invite other teams to come and join them.
Like a tournament?
Like a tournament, except we're not competing. We're all loving each other. And so there are five other bronze level community ensembles within the kind of the tri-state area. So Ohio, we have one coming from West Virginia, all around Michigan, and we are together for two solid days of rehearsing and then performing.
And so it's a grand, I assume, I haven't seen it yet, but it's coming up soon. It's a grand experience. You have the depth of sound, and you're listening to each other play.
Yes, we have seven pieces that we've individually worked on, so we come prepared with those, and then each handbell ensemble will do a solo piece, so one piece that's just their group. So we fly in a conductor from Paris.
Wow.
And he is magnificent. We've all worked with him before and we love him, so it's a hard working day. So that first day we start early in the morning, we don't end until 9:30 that night. Get up early, crack of dawn the next day, and we're back at it. And
then you give a concert.
Then we give a concert that afternoon.
And I'm sure you're just drinking in, sitting at the feet, as they say.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, it's interesting how each director will work a piece differently. Their vision is, you know, so we all come with these seven pieces, but this one conductor will take everything that we've worked on and unite it, and it's just a magical event. A lot of ringing sound.
Now, many of our listeners are familiar that on the elementary levels, at the high school levels, and at the collegiate levels, there's bell ringing. How is your organization different as a community than an academic setting?
Let me back up a little bit. Bells is an art that is accessible to anybody on any level. So it can be young children learning, say, on chimes or something like that, and it can be professional level, which is beyond what you can imagine would be doable. So this group, plays lots of different styles, transcriptions and things. We take what's in front of us and just figure out how to do it.
Now, and we're going to be talking to a composer. Where do you get the music for the scores or the arrangements for the music that you play?
That's a good question. You know, bells is a pretty young art form. So even in the last 30 years, it's changed radically. So the beauty of that, though, is the composers who write for bells, many of them are still alive now.
Wow, so you can talk to them and say, what were you thinking?
We have a question. Right. In fact, I just did that this week for one of our pieces for Bronze Fest. We knew it had a story. We were just so curious what it was. So I said, hey, Bill, you know, what motivated you to write that? And it's incredible. So yes, there are many of our composers are already established composers in other areas. So, and some are just brand new to bells. So we go to other events, we listen to what other groups are doing, kind of glean from that. We are very blessed to have a composer in our midst.
Yes.
So he has given us a lot of material and it's magnificent.
We're going to have the opportunity to meet that composer in this interview.
Yes, he is incredible. And what he thinks of, because he's just so intelligent, what he thinks of is really sometimes a stretch for us. But we figure that out. So, and there's some things, for instance, for our spring concert, there was a piece that a classical piece, a Beethoven piece, I wanted on the program, and nobody had arranged it yet, so I did. That's really nice. I get to sometimes, they're my guinea pigs, tell me if this works, you know, tell me if you see mistakes.
We're seeing history in the making.
There you go, absolutely.
Well, tell me, we have a question, is how many ways can you play a bell? And we've seen a few of them, Martha, while people are starting to look, they may want to sneak over, get their internet out, and look up the Kalamazoo Bell Ringers. Can you tell them a little bit how they can see one of these concerts, maybe hear it in the background as you're speaking?
Oh, sure. There are many ways. We have a website, kalamazooringers.org. We have a YouTube channel, so if you go there and just do a search for us, that will come up. We have a Facebook group, so that gives a lot of information, and many videos are there as well. And we also have a community online, Friends of Kalamazoo Ringers, and that will more be behind the scenes things, so funny things that happen in rehearsals, or you know, who's doing what today, and so everything has its purpose, so you can look us up on any of those places, or all of them, if you like.
Absolutely. So how many ways can you ring a bell?
You know, I don't know that there is an exact number, because we come up with new ways pretty much every week. There are dozens and dozens of ways to ring a bell. So there is just the traditional ring damp, which is moving the bell. But
the
even
the clapper hits the what is it called?
The casting. The metal part of the bell. So bells are made so that the clapper will hit the side, but it has a restraining spring that will pull it right straight back off. So it's not like what you'd see on a teacher's table. The clapper only moves in one direction, forward and back. So that kind of ring, and to be honest with that, just that one basic stroke, there's an infinite number of ways to move that, depending on what you do with the bell once it's ringing. And so we can do, we have thumb damps where you put your thumb up on the casting, which is kind of a staccato stop sound. We can pluck it. We can do a martellato, which is where you put the casting straight into the foam on the table. So there are many different stop sounds. We do, sometimes we do what's called a singing bell. It's like a Tibetan singing bowl where you run a dowel around the outside and you get a sustained sound that you can actually crescendo and decrescendo, and it rings indefinitely. As long as you keep moving, the sound will keep going. And that's a very eerie, special kind of awesome sound.
Then you also sometimes hang them and then you strike them.
Right,
on a tree.
So we have bell
tree that's run with mallets, which I didn't mention. So sometimes we mallet on the table. Sometimes we pick them up and mallet them. So we can do a mallet roll. There are many things just with mallets.
are all bells. If you take the smallest bell, and they have, I mean, just amazing, those huge bells. Mm-hmm. Tell our listeners what maybe is the diameter of some of your largest bells.
Our largest bell is probably, it's almost 2 feet across. It's huge. And it's heavy, and the clapper head looks like a big lamb's tail, you know, so we call them lamb pops or sheep pops or something there. It's a very soft sound, believe it or not, even though it's a giant bell. It doesn't have the strength of some of the small ones that will cut through anything.
How many octaves do you have?
We own 7 octaves. So our lowest bell is C2, which is 6 ledger lines below the bass clef, and our highest is C9, which is like a little thimble. It's very cute, though. So, and we have multiple sets of bells, too. So we have 3 sets of bells and 2 sets of chimes in our regular rotation, but then sometimes we'll bring in other types of bells or chimes for a variety of sounds.
We have a question, too, is how you do tone chimes and bells at the same time.
At the same time.
Let people know what tone chime. You're a music teacher.
Yes, so tone chimes are different than a bell because they have a casting that looks kind of like a chimney, I tell kids. You got to keep the chimney up so the smoke goes out because kids will chop wood.
There
rather
you go.
Than ring
That's
the bell correctly.
Good. Very good. It's like it's basically a tuning fork with a clapper on
there
the outside.
There you go. I like that.
And it is, and ours are choir chimes. Tone chimes are a different brand, but chimes is kind of the general term, and it is much more mellow. Ours are Malmark brand, and they have been deemed by the percussion world to be the purest sound in the world. Actually, because it's just that fundamental and it's very, very sweet. And so to ring them together, you cross the handle. So the handle of the bell crosses with the part you hold on the chime, and then you just pick them up and let the clappers move together, and they'll sound simultaneously.
Well, Martha, we're going to have to talk to the composer and we're going to have to talk to the president.
I have one more question, though, for Martha. An audition. When you have an audition, what are you looking for if people want to join?
That's a great question. And Kalamazoo Ringers, which I neglected to say, is an auditioned ensemble. So every one of our ringers has extensive handbell experience before they come in here. So we're not only looking for the experience, but because I choreograph every move that they make, because every muscle you move changes the way sound waves move in the room. So I'm looking for their movement profile. We say, how do they move? Is their stroke similar? Are they flexible? Are they able to, if they haven't done it the way that KR does, are they willing to try? Are they willing to? And so that's, we wait and see if that's a good fit. And actually every new ringer is on, quote, probation for a year.
Oh, really?
And the entire team, this is unique to KR, the entire team votes in the new ringers.
Oh, they do? So it's a team?
It is a team. Though the director, yes, okay, I can say, sorry. But yes, everybody has a voice, and that's the beauty of KR, is that it's every single person is important and hopefully heard.
Wonderful.
We do our best.
How many people are on your team or a play for a concert?
16 right now. My goal is 17, but I'm waiting until we find just the right person. We only audition when there's an actual opening. So 16, and then myself.
Martha, thank you so much for joining us and giving us this opportunity. And we truly want to encourage our listeners to go to your website. What is that website once again?
KalamazooRingers.org.
Yes, it'll be a wonderful experience, and you'll probably spend a half an hour or more enjoying a beautiful Christmas concert or a spring concert. And there's a concert coming up. Would you mind sharing that one more to the Bronze Fest, which is going to be held here at a rotating competition, and it's going to be held in Kalamazoo.
Mm-hmm. In Portage at the middle school is where we're going to use their gym because it's the big enough space to host all of our ensembles. Yes, and that is coming up, and our president will tell you about more about the date and the time for that event.
Thank you, Martha, and we can tell that the people love being together. Mm-hmm. In the background, you hear them assembling, and shortly there'll be music be playing.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Well, listeners, we now have with us 2 very special people. Brenda?
Yes.
Why don't you introduce them?
Let's introduce you to Larry and Carla Sue, who are all 3 composer, arranger, and playing of the bells.
Very
all
good.
Three skills.
Now tell us, our listeners, how do you go about arranging a song for handbells? How big is the repertoire to start with?
Well, the repertoire is gigantic. It pretty much covers everything you can imagine. Most of it's that we've played in our history has usually been hymns, because handbells are played in churches very frequently. And then community groups like the Kalamazoo Ringers play, they'll play pop songs, they'll play classical music. And then there are pieces which are completely original and made specially for handbells.
So what leads you to arrange something? You say, I like this song, I don't like the arrangement, or there's no arrangement at all?
Any of those.
Okay.
In our case, it was because we were playing 8-bell duets. It was finding pieces that we could turn into arrangements that required just 8 notes so we could play them between the two of us.
Now, I understand you're both also composers, so you actually do original pieces as well.
Yes.
He does more.
So tell us how many compositions you've done and how many arrangements.
We have about, I've probably done 150 original things, and we've probably got about 300 or 400 arrangements of various things between us.
Now, you have your own organization, your own company. Do you mind sharing what your website is?
Yeah, it's choragus.com, C-H-O-R-A-E-G-U-S. It's a really hard thing to spell, but that's why we spell it. And it's been around since 1995, and originally it was for choral music that I'd been writing. But when we got married, then we started adding handbell music to it, and it just kept going from there.
So do you work on any other instruments other than handbells?
Besides voice, also I write arrangements for piano and accompaniments for some of the handbell pieces. Sometimes we fit in another instrument like a clarinet or a flute, and occasionally percussion as well.
Now you hear in the background, you hear the Kalamazoo Ringers, and we did that kind of on purpose. This is at a rehearsal. You heard him stop for a second.
They stopped, yes. That's because you mentioned it.
But it's amazing. I've been to a few rehearsals. Brenda, you've led band.
Okay, another question I'd love to ask you both, because you're so good at it, because this type of artwork or music isn't just auditory.
Okay, another question I'd love to ask
yes.
you.
It's very visual.
Because you're
and
so
beautiful
good at it.
How do you play
4
bells so effortlessly
and
look so beautiful?
And this is Chicarla.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
The secret is in the clappers of the bell.
How
is the inside mechanism of the bell.
So
the clappers don't wobble around on springs. They only go on one plane. So if you have your 2 bells aligned so that one is going in a different direction from the other, that's how you can play them both separately. So each of us will have, we'll have 4 bells each, and all we have to remember is which bells we have, which hand they're in, and which direction they're going in, and when they play, and apart from that, it's easy.
That doesn't sound easy to me, but they make it look easy, let me tell you.
Larry?
And other people have asked us how we do the choreography when we play.
Yes.
And the best answer we've ever been able to give is to say, we just go where the bells tell us to go.
Very good.
Very good.
Because once you play the note, your arm's going a certain way and it's in a certain place. And to play the next note, you just have to do some particular motion from that point.
And you can go on the Kalamazoo Ringers website, and there are some videos up there, and you'll truly understand this is, as Brenda said, both a visual experience as well as auditory. You did, during COVID, what year was that, 2021 Christmas, that you did a video? And
yeah, 20 and 21, I think. Yeah.
2 years.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't rehearse as a group. And so we scrambled like mad to put stuff together and make a virtual concert.
And actually it was good because some of us got to learn different skills, you know, because we were playing in smaller groups. We decided we felt safe gathering in groups of 3 or groups of 4 or groups of 2. And so we got to learn some new skills that we wouldn't normally have had the chance to do. So, I mean, I don't ever like to say anything good about COVID or pandemics, you know, but, you know, you have to look on the bright side.
Yes.
And we did all learn some things and learn to work with what we had.
And it was, for all of our listeners, it was a superior concert that you can go watch on their website.
And tell us about the video that it looked like there was many people playing, but just literally just Larry and Carla.
Yeah, we can only play 8 bells at a time between the two of us. And so when we started exploring how to do more during COVID, especially, for instance, we moved the 12 bells, and we can't do that with just two of us. And so we finally devised a way to record the first 8 in one shot and do the other 4 separately and sync them up. And then to make the video, we make 2 frames, and there's 2 of each of us. And so we started calling those clone videos. And that expanded eventually to the point where we're playing 5 octave music with 7 frames, some music with 8 frames, because, well, Carl will be playing one of the parts and I'll play a cajon. And so that's been an adventure because we have to put them together in such a complicated way sometimes.
There has to be an easier way. It's just complicated because I'm doing it. That's why.
Well, if you notice that Carla has a British accent, have you played in different organizations and in different continents?
Yes, I started playing back in 1987 when I was just a baby. And I started in England and played with lots of groups in England. I played with a bell orchestra that had between 40 and 50 members, and a duo there, and a trio, and various other groups. And then I moved to America in 2012. So
now, Larry, tell us about your experience.
I started playing also in 1987, and was just on a whim because I went to a choral music conference and just decided to take the handbell track for fun. And I did it the next year and volunteered to be a sub in our bell choir at church, and they kept asking me to play, so I just joined them full time, and it's continued ever since. After that point, I was also getting into community groups like Bay Bells back in California, and used to have a group called Loading Zone, which was the world's first bass-only handbell ensemble as well.
Well, it's very interesting. I really enjoy watching you all play. What invitation do you have? What would be the experience of a person to come to your concert or to watch it online that you think would be valuable?
Well, if you come there, it's really good to sit closer so you can see all the action. That way you can see the different people and how they're ringing and all the different things they have to do.
Plus, Kalamazoo Ringers has enormous bass bells. Everybody wants to sit near the bass bells and see them moving and how people play them and find out how heavy they are and how, the bass ringers play them, and they make it look easy. And, there's just such a range of bells. Any handbell concert, really, if you go there, there's something to see with everyone. Kalamazoo Ringers in particular is a good group because we focus a lot on how the music makes us want to look as a group, and playing together and trying to make it artistic. It's more than just picking up a bell and waving it. You have to think of the people next to you and the sound that they're making and how you can match your movements to make it look more of a beautiful artistic thing to watch than just picking up a bell and swinging it. So
yeah, that's pretty much it. You just have to be there. You have to get to hear it, you get to see it. And if you're close enough to the action, then your mind probably has an easier time putting the two together.
And I've literally, on your last concert, probably watched it 3 times. The first time, kind of closed my eyes just to hear the beautiful sound. But the next couple is you become fans of particular people like yourselves, and you watch them and you're wondering how they're going to do that. Well, thank you so much, Larry and Carla, for joining us, and we want you to get back to the practice so that you'll do wonderful during the Bronze Fest.
You'll be doing just fine without us.
Actually, while you're here, I can see you were moving with the music even though you didn't have any bells in your hands.
It happens.
Yeah. When you know the music well enough, all of a sudden you find your arms moving with it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks again. It's been
a
pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have John Thomas. He's the president of the Kalamazoo Bell Ringers. Welcome, John.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
We have some questions for you. What is the most frequent question you get asked about the Bell Ringers?
There's two that are almost always asked, and one is, how heavy are the bells, the big bells?
And the other one, of course, is how long have you been ringing?
So you might as well answer them.
The biggest bells, kind of in the range of 7 pounds up to around 15 pounds. And then, of course, the biggest bells are aluminum, so they don't weigh anymore, but they're just a little more awkward to move around.
Exactly. What question do you wish they would ask?
I think I would like to hear a lot more people ask, how can I join?
Okay, there you go.
Because we're always interested in bringing new people in. And I think sometimes people will come and hear us perform and think, oh, no, I'd never be able to do that. But I think people that have a little bit of bell experience would be surprised at how quickly they'd be able to come up to speed. I mean, people can judge their own talent level, of course, but you know, we're a very friendly group. We're very happy to bring new people in, and so yeah, I would like to hear that a lot.
And we can attest to the fact that you are very friendly. We have been very warmly welcomed here this evening. Now, speaking of people joining, what are some of the current occupations of these ringers?
What's their day job?
Right. We have had several teachers. A couple of those have retired, so still some educators, but retired and some still active. I'm an engineer, somebody who works in the computer field, works from home. And like I said, actually probably the biggest group is either educators or former educators.
Also, we've noticed as we're watching your rehearsal and when the listeners go to your website that you wear gloves when you play the bells. Why is this?
The main reason that we wear bells is to protect the bronze. It doesn't have any coating on it, and so oil on your fingers can leave marks. Yeah, and it's permanent. It has to be kind of buffed back out. So over time, over a long period of time, it can damage the bells, but it definitely makes them look less shiny and presentable. I don't need to wear them when I'm playing the aluminum bells because they're not subject to that same corrosion, but I find that my hands just really hurt if I don't because of the friction rubbing. So it's, for me, it's protecting my hands. For most of the other folks, it's protecting the bells.
Tell us, for our listeners who have been maybe caught us halfway through the program, you have some future programs that are coming up, and I'm sure you invite the public to those programs.
Absolutely. In not very long, February the 19th, we're getting together with a bunch of other bronze level choirs from Michigan, Indiana, Ohio. Not sure if the group from West Virginia is coming, but there's going to be 6 groups all together to get together to play. And that's the concert's February the 19th, Portage Middle School at 3:30. And you can check our website or the Facebook page for more information on that.
KalamazooRingers.org?
That's correct.
Wonderful. And then you also have a spring concert. Do you have a date for that?
It's May 21st, and that's at 4 o'clock, and that's at Grace Harbor Church in Kalamazoo.
And then you finish out the year with a glorious Christmas concert, and do you have a date for that yet?
That's usually set a little later in the year, so we typically do a Christmas in Kalamazoo concert. It's usually the first Tuesday in Advent, and then our Christmas concert is typically the third Sunday in December, but we don't have those dates set yet.
Very good. John, it's we really have enjoyed it, and as you can hear in the background, listeners, the rehearsal going on, preparing for these concert. Please, I encourage you to see their videos that are online, but experience it in person. It's just one more of the programs that Strong Tower Radio is virtually bringing our listening audience out, getting to know your community better. This is Tom Mazure.
I'm Brenda Mazure.
For Strong Tower Radio Network. See us again soon. Bye now.